I'm Mark Simpson, and this is Ballot 2012 on Intersection. The race for Central Florida's U.S. House District 9 pits fiery Democrat and former Congressman Alan Grayson against conservative Todd Long. In this installment of Ballot 2012, our week-long series focusing on some of Central Florida's toughest races, I spoke with Long and Grayson about their plans for the district. We'll cover jobs, housing, oil drilling, and economic policies. That's ahead on Intersection Ballot 2012. You're listening to Intersection's Ballot 2012 series. I'm Mark Simpson. In the race for Florida's newly created U.S. Congressional District 9, Republican attorney Todd Long is competing against Democrat and former U.S. Representative Alan Grayson. The district includes all of Osceola, parts of Polk and Orange counties as well, and a large proportion of its voters are Latino. Todd Long, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
We asked both candidates to appear together on the program, but Alan Grayson's team declined. I'm interviewing the candidates separately, but for the first part of each interview, I'll cover the same topics. Todd, let's first talk about this district. 41% of its voters are Hispanic, and before the primary this year, many were picking John Quiñones as a good bet for the Republican ticket. How are you going to reach out to that constituency if elected?
Well, first of all, my family is largely Hispanic. My kids are Hispanic through their mother, and her family's from Guatemala. My law firm I started 7 years ago. I'm a small business owner. Was Long and Gonzalez. All my employees right now are Hispanic. I've represented thousands of Hispanics in the community. So this district is a natural fit for me. I think the Hispanic voice to go to Washington, D.C., being such an integral part of the Hispanic community over these past 10 years with Hispanic children is a good fit for us. But at the end of the day, all these districts are American districts, and the problems we have affect everybody. And we run a very solution-oriented campaign to really help the poor and the middle class with their standard of living.
On your website, you talk about reforming the federal tax system, saying it, quote, only benefits the largest of organizations with political influence and illegal immigrants and drug dealers who pay no federal income taxes. How do you think the Latino voting bloc in District 9 and voters in general respond to statements like that?
Well, that's the truth. So the tax code is designed in 70,000 pages of basically nonsense so the career politicians can get reelected. The truth is, if we were to start a small business, the mom-and-pop stores, the Hispanic, stores, whatnot, business owners, and they start a corporation, they pay the highest corporate tax rate in the world. Meanwhile, the GEs of the world, the people with political influence, are paying 0% effective corporate tax rate. That's nonsense. When you have a tax code right now, what we propose is to get rid of the 70,000-page tax code, which is what has that done for this nation? It's helped put one out of six people in poverty. We have less small businesses starting in this country than any time in the last 30 years. We got 47 million on food stamps. When you don't have small businesses starting and growing, we're all sunk together. So we're in favor of is Herman Cain's 999 plan. You have to have a national sales tax component of your plan, either by the fair tax or the Herman Cain's plan. And the reason you want to do that is to make sure that everybody's got a little skin in the game. You don't want a tax system that the illegal immigrants and drug dealers pay nothing. That makes no sense. These should not be a preferred status in our country to be violating our laws. That's part of what we're saying.
What would be your top priorities for Congress if elected?
Tax reform. Right now, you're penalizing people for creating jobs and creating wealth and starting businesses. When you do that, you lose your manufacturing base. You have small businesses not starting. When that doesn't happen, you have a lot of poor people and you can't take care of your seniors or educate your kids. We believe in major tax reform. We also believe in this fundamental principle. We create wealth in this country, we don't penalize it, and then we keep the wealth that we do create here. Our energy policy that Alan Grayson's been supportive of, when President Obama became president, he hired Secretary of Energy Chu. He said the gas price at that time, Alan Grayson was in Congress, was $1.83. And they said, Secretary of Energy Chu said, we got to get these much higher like they are in Europe. They've successfully taken our gas prices from $1.80 to $4 a gallon. They won't do the Keystone Pipeline. They won't drill in Anwar. They're shutting down coal plants. Now, when you do that, that's not hurting the rich like Alan Grayson. That's killing the people in my community. This is killing the Hispanic community and the community at large here in Central Florida with $4 a gallon in gas. And one of the reasons why your food prices are going up, your energy prices are going up, and small businesses aren't starting and forming. So we need an American energy policy using all our energy resources, or this country is going to continue to struggle.
You mentioned tax reform, and you mentioned Herman Cain's 999 plan. What about actually getting that through the Congress and then through the Senate. You know, is there a certain part of that that you would maybe compromise on if you were able to get some little bit through?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I believe in the founding fathers' values and principles, the Reagan values, and they're practical people. They got things done. So you're either heading in the wrong direction or the right direction. If we can simplify the tax code and make it fairer or better for small business owners to succeed, I'll be for all of those things. You're right. We may not be able to move it drastically to the point that I want, but you're working with people. But I will promise you this, that if you send me to Congress, I'm going to fight for the best tax code we can that's going to help small businesses start and grow. The minute that happens, that just doesn't help the small business owner, but it gets people back to work. And it gives us the wealth we need to be created to actually, you know, have good education for our kids, take care of our seniors. If that isn't happening, we don't have money to do anything. We start printing money, and that's killing our seniors and people on fixed income. It's killing us all. So we got to stop printing money and start getting the people back to work.
Let me just ask you, ideology-wise, a lot of Republicans broadly have been branded as the party of no, and we've heard a lot of that out of the Congress and the House. Do you subscribe to that?
No, I mean, I think that everything the Republicans have put through the last 2 years ends up at the seat of Harry Reid, who doesn't do anything. He won't do a budget. Ever since Harry Reid became the Senate president, I mean, that was even before President Obama was elected. It's been a nightmare for this country. I mean, this man is in what he's done in the U.S. Senate. Like I said, it's not just gas prices have gone from $1.80 to $4. Our debt's gone from about doubled from $8 trillion to $16 trillion. The man doesn't do deficits. Why anybody would want to put Harry Reid in charge of anything in this country when nothing has gone well? We have all the people on food stamps now that we didn't used to have.
But you're willing to work across the aisle.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things that Alan Grayson didn't do. Alan mm-hmm. Grayson had a chance when he was sent into Congress to work with people, try to solve problems. Instead, he screamed at people. Remember, he called that woman who testified in front of a K Street whore. Brutal as a representative of us. He said that, you know, his other infamous quotes, Dan Webster's Taliban, Dan, the Republicans want you to get sick and die quickly. When you do that kind of thing, you're guaranteeing, you know, a really bad future for the poor and the middle class. I'm going to work with people, not scream at people.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. I'm talking with Todd Long, who is the Republican candidate in the race for U.S. Congress, newly created District 9. I'm Mark Simpson. Tell us about what issues are important to you online, Facebook and Twitter. Send email to intersection at WMFE.org. In Osceola County, which does make up a bulk of this district, it has an unemployment rate around 9.5%. Higher than nearby counties. What would you do to fix that if elected to Congress?
One of the first things, we spend time in Osceola County and in the community. We go to all the events, whether it's churches, flea markets, business owners. We find out what's going on specifically in the community. As you know, Alan Grayson doesn't show up for anything. He just fires a bunch of false ads designed to scare the seniors or make me sound like I'm an anti-Hispanic candidate, which is laughable considering my children are Hispanic. But we're in the community, we're listening to people, we're talking about solving problems, but I can tell you that the bulk of the business in the District 9, which is Osceola, like you said, Polk and Orange, are these a lot of small businesses. And these small businesses need a tax code that works, and they need an energy policy that works to keep the wealth in their community. The other thing we haven't talked about the devastating effect of the tax code, which hits our community so hard, is when you have a tax code that taxes people so high, and particularly even the rich, and then the rich, what do the rich do? Everybody complains about it. They put their money in Cayman Island accounts or Swiss bank accounts. The last thing you want the rich of this country to do is put their money overseas. You want them to put the money into Osceola County, and our tax code discourages that. That's insanity to me, and we plan to fix it.
So even though reforming taxes sounds like an admirable aspiration, what would you do for people that are unemployed right now? Well, because that process would take a while.
Well,
it's not going to happen overnight.
Well, let me say this to you. You know, I can't maybe implement the things I want to do, but there is no magic bullet. I mean, there's only one way to get people back to work, and that's private businesses hiring people. I mean, I'm an economics major, small business owner. This is very easy to do. If you make it easy for people to start small businesses and grow, if you change your tax code, went to Herman Cain's 999 plan real quickly for your viewers, gets rid of all your taxes, your federal taxes, capital gains, corporate, your payroll taxes. It allows your employees to keep 100% of your tax, your what you're getting paid. If you get rid of all these taxes, replace it with a 9% personal income tax, a 9% corporate tax, a 9% sales tax, I'm just telling you, Mark, immediately, not 10 years, immediately you're going to have all these small businesses growing, hiring. You're going to transform this country. I'm saying if you do not do these things, okay, I don't have any magic answer for you of how you're going to get people back to work because there isn't. There's no other way other than getting your small businesses growing and starting. That's who hires people. They hire 70% of the new hires.
talking about your own ideology, Herman Cain, and you've got a support from a number of grassroots conservatives, including the Tea Party. How do you think you'll be able to win over moderate voters, or maybe better asked, why should moderate voters support you and believe that you'll work on their behalf as well as your conservative parts of your constituency?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of times people think it's move right to the left. No, people want problem solvers. Most of your independents want somebody that's going to help them with their economic situation and problem solving. It's not left or right. It's when Reagan got things done for the people, it's not like the people suddenly became this Reagan ideology necessarily, but they were happy he got things done. Whether you're a Democrat, independent, you're white, black, Hispanic, female, male, we can't pit people against each other. What people want from me or their representative, does somebody have common sense solutions that are going to help me in my life? That's why we run for Congress. It's not ideology. It's common sense. And when you don't have an energy policy and you drive your gas price up to $4 a gallon and send all your wealth to other countries, that's not liberal conservative. That's just dumb. And that's what Alan Grace and these people have done, have intentionally made sure that we're not using our own American energy sources, driving up gas prices, which is killing us. I plan to reverse that course.
In Central Florida, Orange County, for example, we're seeing the emergence of the medical city, an effort to foster medical technology. What other industries would you like to see move into this new district?
I would like to see a lot of new industries, but let me say this. I think what the people of this district are hoping for, one is that their own businesses are prosperous and successful. And the first thing I intend to do, all these mom-and-pop stores that we have on, 192 and the hotels and restaurants and people like that that are starting their small businesses, I want the current businesses to stop dying out. I want them to grow and be successful. I think that, Orlando's done a good job with their local government. I think as far as driving new business here, that's sort of the job of the state and local government. What I think you want your Congress to do, the purpose of your federal government is to give you a great military, take great care of your veterans, get your border secured, have a good national energy policy and a tax code that makes sense so it creates jobs and creates wealth. It doesn't discourage people from starting businesses, and a tax code and energy policy that tells all the big business men and women around the world that used to make products here, come back to the United States, come back to Osceola County. It's a great place to start and manufacture products. That's the job of your congressman, in my opinion.
You mentioned some frustration about the Keystone Pipeline and drilling in Anwar. There is expanding offshore drilling going on because of the Cuban government, and it's always talked about around Florida as an option for decreasing reliance on foreign oil. What is your position on drilling off the coast of Florida?
Obviously, our coastline's precious in this state. We can't do anything to endanger it. So, we want to make sure that no matter if we drill anywhere offshore, it's safe. It's not going to hurt our beaches and our industries offshore there. But obviously, as you get further out, you get the Chinese and Cubans drilling in waters that we could be drilling in. That's just silly. At that point, it's silly for us to not be drilling at all off the coast of Florida once we get out there. Certain mods. Now, how we're going to do that, obviously it's up to, again, your state government, make sure that we have a sufficient, distance out there to make sure we do it safely and to make sure things like the BP disaster doesn't happen. So we do it safely, but I am supportive at a certain point of drilling off the coast once we get further out in the ocean.
In summary, what would you tell voters your vision is for the district?
The one thing they need to know is Alan Grayson's been running a lot of ads saying, I want to raise the Social Security and Medicare age on people. That's false. I don't want to raise any of that on anybody. Because Alan Grayson and our Congress, not just Alan Grayson, but for example, Alan Grayson put $64 billion, spent that $64 billion of surplus in 2009, Social Security money that should be there for our seniors. When that's been going on the last 10 or 20 years, all these tens of billions of surplus have been spent on pet projects or solar companies in Mexico or Finnish electric car companies. They've stolen the seniors' money and my money I put into it, and now they're starting to run deficits. So what we said is we don't want to change the system for our seniors at all. I don't want to cut Medicare like Alan Grayson voted to cut $715 billion of Medicare. He's the one hurting our seniors. What I want to do is save the program for younger people, change the system for people in their 30s and 20s, not hurt the current seniors. I don't want to hurt anybody's standard of living. And I want to stop the printing of money that's hurting our seniors right now. So if people ask me, I am running to improve your standard of living, whether it's 75, 55, 35, or 15. I'm laser focused on doing that, and I got a plan to get it done.
We've been speaking with Todd Long, who is running for U.S. Congress in the newly created District 9. Very nice to speak with you, sir.
Oh, thanks, Mark. Thanks so much.
Up next, I talk to former U.S. Representative and candidate for District 9, Alan Grayson. You're listening to Intersections Ballot 2012 series. I'm Mark Simpson. Joining me is Democrat and former Congressman Alan Grayson. He was elected to District 8 in 2008 and served one term. He is now running as a candidate for Florida's U.S. House District 9. Alan Grayson, welcome to the program.
Yes, thanks.
We asked both candidates to appear together on the program, but Alan Grayson's team declined. I'm interviewing the candidates separately, but for the first part of each interview, I'll cover the same topics. The 9th Congressional District has a strong Hispanic voting bloc, 41%. What can you offer that constituency?
Well, first, you need to understand that you're talking about population. The actual number of Hispanics who voted in the last election in 2010 in the district was actually 22%. But I think your basic premise is right. And in fact, we had a huge number of Hispanics in the previous configuration before the census led to the redistricting that led to the renumbering that led to the districts that we have now. And the answer is very simple. We have an excellent record of serving the entire community, including Hispanics. When I was in Congress, for my single term in Congress, we delivered the first congressionally directed spending to Hispanics in the history of Central Florida. I thought that it was a shame that with a quarter of the population of Orange County being Hispanic, we had no Spanish language books or magazines in the libraries. And so we had $500,000 of congressionally directed spending directed toward providing that to the libraries. And those books and magazines and computer software, they're there now. They were delivered. They're there now. And I think that that's been a boon to the Hispanic community. In addition to that, we got a $220,000 amount of directed spending to the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce to do training in accounting, in human relations, in basic business needs to be conducted in Spanish so that our budding entrepreneurs here in Central Florida can benefit from that. Beyond that, more generally, my record on housing, my record on health care, my record on jobs has been one that's been of tremendous benefit to everyone, including especially the Hispanic community. For instance, the percentage of people around Florida who have no health coverage is 20%. That's the third highest in the entire country. Among Latinos, it's 40%. So Latinos have twice the likelihood of having no health coverage as Anglos do or as African Americans do. And we attacked that, and we've already gotten tremendous results from that. The passing, for instance, of the Children's Health Insurance Program, which happened the first week that I was in Congress, brought health coverage to 10,000 children in our district, most of whom are Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, the passage of the Affordable Health Care Act is going to bring coverage to the great majority of the 200,000 Hispanics in the district who don't have health coverage now, whether it's on health coverage or housing or education or on jobs. We have a record that's been of a tremendous value to the Hispanic community.
As you look forward for hopes of reelection to Congress, what would be your top priorities at the national level if you return to office?
Well, at the national level, we need to make progress on jobs. As we did when I was in Congress, you know, because of all the federal money that I was able to bring into the district, we were able to drop the unemployment rate for Orange County below the statewide rate for the first time in years. We brought in an extra $100,000 in my first year in Congress in competitive grants alone. Those are the grants that you don't get by formula, but you have to compete against Los Angeles, you compete against Detroit, you compete against Chicago and New York. And we won an extra $100 million of those grants, doubling the grants in my first year. We need to continue to do that. We can't any longer keep exporting our tax money and importing debt. We have to get our fair share. One of the big differences among members of Congress is, are you willing to fight for that or not? We did, and the result was there for everyone to see.
What are your specific priorities for the district?
Oh, for the district? I think it'll be continuation of what we were able to accomplish before. With regard to jobs, as I said, we brought in so much money from the federal government that we were able to tangibly, noticeably affect the local unemployment rate and reduce it below the statewide average. I'd like to continue that work. I think that also we made tremendous effort to improve the schools. We brought in an extra $200 million. There were 6 schools in Orange County that were slated to be closed. All the schools remained open because of the money that we brought in for the schools, and we can continue to with regard to that. With regard to health care, if we simply continue on the path that we are already on, then virtually every American citizen will have health coverage within a couple of years. with almost no exceptions. We just have to be able to continue what has already been put in place. In addition to the Children's Health Insurance Program that I mentioned, in addition to the expansion of Medicare for seniors to eliminate the donut hole. Beyond that, we're about to see affordability credits, federal discounts that people will be receiving for their health insurance to make sure that it isn't more than 11% of your income. That starts within the next year or so. And an expansion of Medicaid to cover an extra 15 million people, including a huge number of the working poor in our district, the people who work for $8, $9, $10, $12 an hour and just can't afford health insurance. Medicaid will be open to them.
Is it a concern for you when you hear Republican leaders like Rick Scott saying that they don't want Florida to participate in Medicaid expansion or the exchange?
Look, Rick Scott owns Solantic. The reason why he doesn't want to have Florida participate is because he wants to continue to have customers for his own business rather than see these people get their health care needs met in some other way. He has a deep, deep conflict of interest on this subject, and he should separate himself from all decision-making regarding health care. It is criminal that he shut down the health clinics all around Florida and zeroed out the health budget for the sake of boosting profits in his own company at the expense of people's health and even people's lives.
We should point out that Governor Rick Scott and his wife sold their controlling stock in the Solantic Healthcare Company in June of 2011. You've been talking a lot about jobs, and Osceola County makes up a large part of this district. It has a higher unemployment rate at 9.5% than many of the surrounding counties. What do you think is the way that you as a congressman can fix that?
Well, Osceola County represents by population a third of the district, and we represented only a tiny part of Osceola County before, only Celebration. What we hope to do is to bring the same benefits to Osceola that we brought earlier to Orange County, meaning essentially that we'll be bringing in enormous federal funds for nonprofits, for small businesses, for schools, for hospitals. The extra $100 million that we brought in was concentrated in Orange County. We hope to spread that to Osceola County and also get more aid for the schools and in general, to put people back to work.
Your opponent, Todd Long, brings a strong conservative message into this congressional race. And I asked him the question, how would he appeal to moderate or liberal voters? And I want to ask you the question, how would you appeal to more conservative voters in this district? A lot of Republicans say they don't want additional federal funds, and the governor has certainly set a trend in the state for rejecting them.
Well, I think that's sad because what they're doing is they're cutting other people's noses despite their face. We have to put everybody back to work. And if they decide that they don't want health coverage, that's fine. But for them to say that other people shouldn't get it is verging on sadism when you're talking about people who are sick, people in need, people who are fighting for their lives, in some cases losing their lives. We have a problem. The problem is 200,000 people in this district don't have health coverage. They can't see a doctor when they're sick. And if the federal government is the device for solving that problem, then I'm all in favor of it. We've known for 3,000 years that a just society is one that shelters the homeless and feeds the hungry and heals the sick. And I don't know how these people in good conscience can call themselves conservatives when they seem to be going directly against that imperative that we've known now for so long that's in the Bible.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. I'm talking with Alan Grayson, who is in the race for a seat in the U.S. Congress's newly created District 9. I'm Mark Simpson. You can tell us about issues important to you online, Facebook, and Twitter. Send email to intersection at WMFE.org. Expanding offshore oil drilling has been talked about as one option for decreasing U.S. reliance on foreign oil. Todd Long has talked about wanting to drill in places like Anwar. And I wonder, what is your position on the viability of drilling off the coast of Florida?
Well, I think you mischaracterized his position. His position, literally, according to his book, is drill everywhere. That's his word, everywhere. So he not only is interested in drilling off the coast, he's interested in drilling on the coast. He'd drill on the beaches. He'd drill in the national parks. He'd drill in Mount Rushmore in the Grand Canyon. He'd drill absolutely everywhere.
But your position on drilling off Florida?
My position is that it's irresponsible, given the fact that we have 50 million visitors to Florida every year, and we could have another situation where a BP blowout destroys our tourist industry possibly permanently. The number one business in Florida is tourism. We are home to the world on vacation, and we have to make sure that we don't do anything to endanger that. Now, I will tell you this. In Alaska, the oil companies do drilling there, and every single citizen in Alaska gets a $2,000 check each year. If the oil companies wanted to make that offer to the people of Florida, I'd have to say I'd be interested, particularly since I have five children and a wife. That would be almost $15,000 for us each year. So if they want to give us the Alaska deal, I think we'd have to consider that. But if they're just saying, we're going to drill offshore and you get nothing except the risk that you lose your number one business, which is tourism, no, I'm not interested in that.
In Central Florida, Orange County in particular, we've seen the emergence of Medical City and other efforts to foster medical technology. Do you think something like that could happen in Osceola County, or what kind of other industries would you like to see come into the district?
Well, we have three basic elements to our economy at this point locally that make us strong, or when they're weak, make us weak. The first one is tourism. That's our number one employer. A huge employer throughout the district. Whether you call it tourism, hospitality, whatever, that employs more people than any other single segment of the private economy. We, by passing the Travel Promotion Act, which had been stuck in Congress for 6 years before I got a hold of it, and getting that passed, we've provided an extra $150 million a year of federal money, which costs the taxpayers nothing, to promote our number one business. I'd like to expand on that in Osceola. Secondly, there's housing. The housing market is very slowly coming back. By cutting foreclosures in half the way that we did, we put a floor on the housing market, which had been declining precipitously because of all the foreclosures that had been coming onto the market. I voted for an extension of the first-time home buyers tax credit. That lapsed while I was no longer in Congress. I would fight to bring that back, and that will help Osceola as well as the rest of the district. With regard to what you're describing, a medical city, this is part of our panoply of senior services for the elderly, senior, for retirees, that's becoming a bigger and bigger part of the economy, not just here in Central Florida, but all around Florida. And in that particular area, there's a tremendous amount of opportunity. I think that Medical City is going to be a tremendous driver of our local economy. I'm particularly happy that the Veterans Hospital that we got full funding for when I was in Congress, after that had eluded my predecessor for 8 years, I'm particularly glad that that finally will be completed, because right now Orlando is the largest city in the entire country without its own VA hospital. And I'm very proud that we were able to do that for the veterans.
In summary, what would you tell the voters of this district, what your vision is for them?
What I want to do is I want to continue the good work that we did in so many different areas. I mentioned before that we doubled the amount of competitive grant money coming into the district in our first year. We cut foreclosures in Orange County in half, thanks to our mandatory mediation program and our housing counseling program. We brought in huge amounts of money for the schools, an extra $200 million that otherwise wouldn't have come to Central Florida, that kept schools open. Whether you're talking about housing or education or health care or jobs, we delivered. And that's something, honestly, that very few elected officials can say. It's certainly something that a candidate who's never held elective office like my opponent can't say. All he can say is what he's going to do, things like raising the retirement age to 72, privatizing Social Security, eliminating federal student loans, eliminating federal aid to the schools, raising the sales tax to 30% from 6.5%. Those are promises that he's made. In my case, it's not a question of what promises I've made. It's a question of what I've done and what more I can do for the people who are depending upon me as their congressman to try to help to solve the problems that are just too big for any one person in private life to solve.
We've been speaking with former Congressman and Democrat Alan Grayson, who is now running for Florida U.S. House District 9. Alan, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you, too.
You can join the conversation online. Visit us at Facebook and Twitter, or WMFE.org/intersection, where you can download our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Our production team includes Amy Green and Matthew Petty. I'm Mark Simpson, and thanks for listening.